This is episode 3. Yay! Procrastination be damned. So, today I will be talking about the things that shocked me the most on my trip to India. You know, the things that are different, the things that they do differently than they do here, or the things that are just there and are not here. You know, the further away you move from your country, the more different things are going to be. Shockingly different. Not wrong. They're not wrong. They're just the way they are supposed to be. You know, I think I landed. I landed in Mumbai, and I took a walk first before taking the tuk-tuk, and the first thing that shocked me, what was it? Just the number of tuk-tuks. I had never seen that many tuk-tuks, and the noise also. It shocked me. Like, I was surprised. I kind of stopped and stared at the cars and the tuk-tuks, and they're hooting, and the way it's like, the sound doesn't stop. The hooters stop. People stop hooting, but then by the time the person who was hooting stops, or beeping, or what do they call it in India? Honking, you know, so people don't stop. The moment someone stops honking, someone is in the middle of a honk, and someone has just started their honk, and someone is about to start their honk. Beep 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 beep. That was crazy. I thought, no. What is happening? It's so noisy. I can't stand this. But it's interesting. So I stared for a while, and I was like trying to figure out, why are these people hooting? Why are they honking? Why are they doing these things? And in the end, I understood. Now, I think I did that when I came here. So they don't honk because someone is in the way or someone is doing something wrong. They honk to give you attention that they are about to overtake. Do you get it? So so here in South Africa, if you hoot, if you honk at a person, they take it as an offense. More especially if they haven't done anything wrong. More especially if it's an older person and you are honking at them, they probably will get out with a gun. Trust me, more especially if they're a taxi driver and you honk and they haven't done anything. They actually, first of all, you honk, they're gonna take their hand out to show you that there is a way, and just use the other side of the road if you need space. Don't honk at me, you're making noise. I'm driving, I'm listening to my beautiful music. But in India, if you don't honk, that's taken as not a disrespect, but you're not following the rules, maybe the unspoken rules. So that shocked me. I was like, oh, beep 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 boop beep boop beep beep boop 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 boop, yeah. So it's like this person is honking, you're like, oh, you're such a good driver. Ah, I love you guys. So yeah, that shocked me a lot. And secondly, just around the airport. So I went to this other, it's like a township, it's a very congested place. It's like a favela, like a township, you know, small dwellings looking a little bit informal. And there were lots of these statues. I think they are some Christian, not Christian, Catholic, I think. It's like there's a side of India where there are lots of Catholic, and they all dwell in the same area, and they've got like statues. What do you call a small statue? Do you call it a statuette? Statue. Statuarine, a miniature statue. No, they were not really small, but they were like human-sized statues, and they are caged, and there's like they've got candles there, and they burn candles. I don't know when they do it, but maybe when they pray or when they give thanks. That shocked me, because in South Africa we don't have religions that require you to have a figure of a person or a thing or a god or anything. Here in South Africa, our religions, you know, Christianity, it's like you imagine God, you know, everything is invisible. So in India, you will see the statues of the Buddha, you will see the statue of Vishnu, you will see the statues of all the people that they, or the things, or the gods they worship. Get it? So it's a statue, it's a thing. You go to a temple, you walk inside, and you do things, you do rituals, you follow steps of doing things. It's like you are on a meditative state. It's like you're doing stuff, you're walking around, you're cycling, and you are worshiping, and you are bowing, and you are kneeling, and it's that way. That surprised me. It's something that I had to stop and look at and wonder and ask myself and be attentive and try to imagine and try to figure out why or how or why it's the way it is. So that's number two. And number three is the amount of sweets there, you know. Like, there's like, you can go to a shop or a small stall where they only sell sweets, and they're not packaged. They look like small cakes. It's just maybe made of flour and some sugary stuff. Some of them will have nuts and seeds, and some of them will pink, blue, yellow, green. They look like small cakes, but they're not cakes, you know, they're just sweets, you know. And they're just pegged there. It's like a meter high and 2 meters long in a shelf or in a glass shelf. So I bought a couple and I ate them. So that surprised me that we don't. Oh, third, before I forget. So in India, another thing that surprised me the most was the number of times or how often you're gonna see someone spitting. Like, in India, they've got, I think it's all over Asia, if I'm not mistaken. I googled it. So people have this, they buy these small sachets of a powder. I think it's a bark of a tree, if I'm not mistaken. So they just take this, they take that sachet. If you go, you're walking around India, you're going to see small stalls with sachets that are attached to each other. It's like a line of sachets. So you just go there, you pay 5 rupees, and you tear one out, and then you open it, and then you empty it into your mouth, and you chew the contents. And when you're done chewing the contents, I think you swallow your own saliva. I'm not sure. I don't know if you swallow. Oh, of course. How will it get into you? So you swallow the things that you, but then you spit off the bugs. You spit off the contents after chewing, you know. I don't know if I'm making sense. So after that, I think the contents of that sachet leaves a bad taste in their mouths. So they will spit saliva. Brown stuff comes out of their mouths. And all over India, in the streets, you're going to see the stuff. More especially in urban areas, you're gonna see the stuff. And they also do it in, you know, at the train station, on the rail, when there is no train, they will spit there. They will just walk close to the thing and they will spit. Even people who have not been chewing the things, you know, spitting is contagious. When you see someone spitting, you are more likely to spit also. So I saw that and that surprised me. Not to say it's a wrong thing to do, not to say it's the right thing to do, but to say it's a different thing for me to see as a South African in South Africa, or what I'm used to, or since I was born, I've never seen people spitting that often. It's kind of compulsive, they have to do it. I only spit when I'm smelling something bad or I ate something that that are not good. Not after eating something. So that shocked me. I was also shocked about what shocked me? I took a tuk-tuk. How I love saying these words. I took a tuk-tuk and it took me to the place where I took a train to go to a touristy traveling trip. God. So, how cheap things are in India. Oh, I was shocked. Like, it left me in pieces. Ugh. Yo. So, So, 1 South African rand equals 5 rupees, Indian rupees. So, I would... And not only that. Something being equal to... your local currency being more in numbers to another country... currency doesn't automatically convert to its value being more, but even if South African rand was equal to 1 rupee, it would still be cheaper in India. The numbers don't make a difference. What makes the difference is the value of your currency there, not the, oh, come on, it's too complicated to explain. Because it, for example, South African rand, 1 South African rand, let's not even go there. So, how cheap the things were in India, that surprised me. Because I would take a tuk-tuk for like 5 rands, which is... in South Africa, you can never take a taxi. You cannot take anything for 5 rands. And in India, that converts to 25 rupees. I'm using my fingers. So 25 rupees. And you can go for like... Because I think the base fee is like 8 rupees. So that gives me like 4 or 5. I was so... I would drink a cup of tea for 5 rupees. That's like 1 rand. Ah, man, that shocked me. Like, it shocked me to a point where I would buy something and the person would give me so much change that I would think it's more than I gave them. I would ask for a price and they would give me a price and I would not believe them, and I would ask them to repeat themselves, and then I would hesitantly pay them. I would not to hesitate to pay them per se, but to hesitate to give them that little money that they are asking for. I'm not saying I had too much money or I had a lot of money. No, I went to a cheap country. Extremely cheap. That surprised me. Like, when I went to the train station and the train was... what was it? 10 rupees. And I went from... I think that was 14 kilometers. It surprised me. I thought I could do this every day. Man, if I could travel for 14 hours, 14 kilometers for 10 rupees, why would I not want to travel around India forever and ever? Ah, come on. Ah, And another thing that surprised me, not to say it shocked me, was it, I was surprised to see that in the train, there is, like in the train station, there's a place where ladies are supposed to board their coach and a place where men are supposed to, like men and women don't mix in public. You don't, there's no coach where you're gonna find females with males. It's, they are all separated. So there's like a pink coach, and that's for ladies. I thought that was very, very special and a thing that every country should adopt. Not to say that we want to separate the genders, but out of respect, people, we in public spaces, we deserve a little bit of privacy. I think it would make much the world a much better place. I mean, in trains in here in South Africa and other countries, you will see people packed up, jammed up in a train, and they're just ladies there, and we're just squeezing each other. I don't think it's less civilized. I thought that was really special, so it surprised me. And the number of cars in India, the number of motorbikes, the number of people in India. Oh, jeez. The number of trains, the number of cars, the number of... Oh, it's just too many. It's just too many. The number of temples. And the way... And again, I think this is number 5. How Indian men dress. They wear button-up or button-down shirts or shirts or... long-sleeved shirts, depending on where you are from or how you, what you call them. So here in South Africa, we wear t-shirts. We can wear a sporty 100% cotton t-shirt or 50% polyester, or we can wear a 100% polyester t-shirt, long-sleeved t-shirt, or a vest. A vest is a t-shirt, a shirt without sleeves. We don't wear the shirts that you have to iron and button, and they have a collar. We can wear collarless for the rest of our lives, unless we are going for an interview. Indian men wear shirts as if they were going to an interview every single day, but what they do for a living is brush shoes, or what they do all day is to sell stuff on the streets, or what they do is to drive a tuk-tuk, or what they do is to sit in the street asking for change or playing music or whatever. I thought that was really, really beautiful. Like, they wear shirts. When you're wearing a shirt here in South Africa, it's a bit formal. It's a bit, you know, we are just kicking it. we are laid back, you know. We wear like for comfort. I don't think I would feel comfortable my whole life wearing a shirt, you know. And they've got, you know, they don't just wear blank shirts. Most of them are checked shirts, and they wear formal pants. Even though they may be wearing flip flops, they will, or thongs. What, I don't know if you are from the UK or the US, so they will wear flip flops with formal pants and a shirt. I thought that was, oh man, different. You know, here you can just wear your sports shirt or your whatever, colorful t-shirt, or you know what I'm talking about. And I was also shocked by the number of stalls are there on the streets in India. I don't know. You know, I tried to eat as much food as I could, like different food. I even went on a 2-day eating challenge, you know, with myself. You know what I did? Took a train, get off the train, eat a different meal, get on a train, get off the train, eat a different meal. Like, Even if I were to go to on a single street and want to eat one thing after another, not repeating anything, I would be full before a kilometer of walking on that street. It's just, there's just too many things to choose from. It's like a lot of foods, and the food is really cheap because that's Indian lifestyle. People eat on the streets. It shocked me. It really did shock me. And what shocked me also, talking about shocking stuff, you know, also just things being different from where you're from, it's kind of surprising. The building materials, you know, they are nothing like we have here in South Africa. We build our houses out of bricks that look different. We tile our houses differently. We decorate our houses differently. Everything is just different. And what surprised me again, or actually shocked me, was how people carry their cargo around. You know, people carry their heavy loads using cows or buffaloes, or yes, wild buffalo, water buffalo. And they use carts or their bicycles to pull or to move their stuff around. You will be surprised, more especially in the morning or in the evening, by how many people are carrying heavy loads of stuff, moving to and fro, you know. And I was also shocked by the, you know, these big figures that they have in their temples, you know. You know, they'll be like having a big statue of their god, or it's just huge, and your size equals to the size of its foot, you know. It's just, and how nice Indians in general are. I think that surprised me a lot, because at some point I would not trust people thinking that they would be the way that I expect people to be, me being from a country that is number 4 or on the not so safe countries. I would think I would be very careful on the first days, and then only to realize that people are actually nice, like genuinely nice, more especially when you are not in the city. But even then, when you're in the city, you are comfortable because you see people comfortable. You realize how much you have to be free. It's when you're not used to that feeling of having to walk around with your smartphone hanging, or listening to music, or just putting your phone in a pocket and not having to be sure that you always holding it, or you take your backpack and put it, walk with it while it's in front of you and make sure that it's zipped carefully, or you're constantly looking around. It's quite a feeling, you know. Especially when you're not used. I'm from a country where if I'm in town or in the city, I've got to make sure, you know. Just make sure. And what didn't surprise me that I expected to surprise me? I don't know if I just didn't go to the places where I, you know, I've seen pictures of India and I thought I would see, you know, colorful like places. Maybe because of my way of traveling. I don't plan to go to places, you know. People would say India is colorful. It is, but not to an extent that I've seen in the pictures. Indian food is spicy, but not to an extent that I've had. I'm not saying that I'm not saying Indian food isn't spicy. I'm not saying India is not as colorful as I've seen.
It probably is, but in my experience, the way I traveled, it wasn't the case. I didn't see the colorful things. I did see the colorful things, but not as much as I thought I would. And the food wasn't, I never ate something that I couldn't tolerate. Like, I could eat anything. I ate almost everything that I could see and think is interesting. And trust me, I'm not picky. I just don't eat beef and red meat. But, you know, Indians don't eat beef. So I ate and ate and ate. And surprise, surprise, or shocky, shocky, what shocked me? I went to the Mahatma Gandhi Museum. I went to India Gate. And I only went there because there were two American friends that I had met at the hostel, and they wanted to go somewhere. And when we were in town, we just looked at the map and say, let's just go to Mahatma Gandhi Museum. We went there and we were just kicking it. And I was surprised by the amount of detail at the Khajuraho monuments, the temples with erotic sculptures. And it's, I can't explain it, man. I just can't explain it. It's, I don't know. Imagine you are building something for the rest of your life. You're building a house for the rest of your life. Just one room house for the rest of your life. How would you build it if you were given you're spending your whole life building one room? The amount of detail that you would put there equals to the amount of detail that is on the temples in Khajuraho. It's just amazing. They're taking sandstone and they're turning it into a very detailed depiction of a moment in life of people doing stuff to other people. It's just, I couldn't stomach that. It was just too much to digest. I'm not saying I try to lick the statues, naked statues. I'm saying that it was too much to take in. You would have to stand there and think, wind back, go back to their time and imagine them doing that. It would take them a lot of years, and you could tell that this took them a very long time. Ugh, that was just something else. And I was also surprised by, of course, the how different the food is, you know. Because I believe that the food at a place is dependent on the climate of that place and the things that you can grow there. And also that shapes the culture, you know. You can't say, if you go to a country where corn doesn't grow, it's more likely, people are more likely not to eat corn at that place. Like in, I believe in America, they usually use corn for grazing, for cattle. But here in South Africa, we use corn to make food, pap, porridge. You know, so form follows function. Things that are there are going to be the things that people eat. And the more people eat a certain food or a certain kind of a thing, the more different it's going to be. You know, if you come to South Africa and you want to eat everything that is made out of corn, you will realize how we've, through time, managed to evolve it, to breed it, to favor us, to cook it in a different way, to make stuff out of it. You get it? Just that, you know. I think in India they've got flour, in Asia they've got flour, they've got rice. You go there, they don't cook rice the way we do. they cook it in a way that you can tell that they've been doing this for thousands of years, yet we didn't know about it. You see, so their food is different. And because I went to Kajurao and I rented a bicycle, I went to small villages and I would see people in their houses and they just doing mundane things, you know, getting by, you know, in a different way, you know. I was surprised. Also, you know, maybe it's due to my not knowing India or my ignorance. It was so easy to find English books. Like, the books that I've read, like the 4-hour work week, like 0 to 1, like all these self-help books from Tony Robbins to Timothy Ferris to Steve Jobs to all those books, you know. I was surprised. I also was surprised to know, to learn that water buffaloes are not as violent and aggressive as cattle or cows. That was surprising because they look so wild. Someone explained to me that they are not as wild as cows, and they look so calm and friendly. You know, that shocked me. And I attended the Ganga Aarti, the festival. I don't know if you can call it a festival. It's like a prayer at the end of the day along the Ganges, along the Ganga River, people giving thanks to the river. How many people attended and how much with respect it is done, and just the whole ritual taking place, people waving their, you know, their things and dancing and doing slowly and playing music and singing along and floating candles on the water and such. That was something I had never seen before. Another thing was the number of stray dogs. Oh God, so many stray dogs. And because, you know, because we've, you know, dogs are things, animals that we've domesticated, they want to stick around, they want to be with us, you know, they depend on us, so they stick around. They are usually around humans. It's hard to find a stray dog. No, it's almost impossible to find a wild dog, a wild stray dog, because they eat human garbage, you know, because we are so picky to a point where we've got nutritious things that we throw away, you know. And I was also surprised at how men dress, you know, like when they are just kicking it and when they are just men in India can take t-shirts off, more especially along the Ganges River. Like, they just take their shirts off and they are wearing their towels or their, what do you call this, I forgot it. So they just there with their big tummies, just letting loose, you know, they're just sitting there, you know, not caring. That was beautiful, graceful. And you could tell that these people, they don't look like they have anything to worry about, you know. And I was also surprised to hear about this, the sadhus, the people who you find at the Ganges, the people who undertake the burials. They are covered in ashes. Some say that those ashes are from the people who are cremated, the bodies that are cremated there. They take the ashes and they smear around their bodies. And they would usually you would meet a naked man, you know, with his junk hanging, you know, hitting his thighs if it's that long. I don't know, man. I didn't stare. And And you know, you I mean, you can if I could tell that Indian civilization has been there for a very long time. You can, if they can take an ingredient that has always been there in each and every country, an ingredient such as milk, and they make stuff out of milk. Milk is a universal. Milk is everywhere. It's either you can take it from an elephant or from a buffalo or from a cow or from iron or from a dog, whatever. Milk is milk. And Indians have ways. They've got meals that they make out of. They've got lassi. They've got this. What do they call it? Do they call it malai? They've got these things that they make out of milk. They froth the milk. They color it. They make it. It's like you're eating. It's just too many foods made out of milk. So it, if you think about it, you realize how far it must have come, you know? I mean, looking at, they don't even use machines to do the stuff that they are doing, you know? Handmade food stuff, you know? I was also shocked to see the number of stalls, you know, the chai stalls. Then how common it is to see people drinking tea, chai. It's just a thing to do. Like, I think in South Africa, the most common thing is the thing that people do in between things. You're taking a break, you go out, you can smoke. That's a bit Western, you know. You can smoke, you can eat a bubble gum. I don't know, I don't do that. Or you can do what? You know, those little things that you do when you're taking a break from something and you're sitting. They drink chai, you know. In South Africa, you get out, you smoke. If you don't smoke, I don't know what you do because I don't do anything. I don't eat lunch. So they do that. I was surprised, you know. And what shocked me also was the number of statues, you know, statues that are drawn, paintings of gods and religious drawings, you know, with descriptions underneath. I don't know if they were descriptions or they're just written in Hindi and, you know, that way. And the trucks, the decorated trucks. Oh, come on. So I've got a picture here. It's a Tata truck that carries heavy loads. You know, maybe it has like 20 wheel, 18 wheeler or something, or 12 wheeler. So it says good carrier, goods carrier, all India permit. You know, so it's like it's a truck that carries goods, heavy loads, and it's adorned, like it's painted and decorated with symbols and signs and religious symbols and funny things, and there are things hanging there, and it's painted in red and green and blue, and it's just beautiful. It looks like something you wouldn't wanna take anywhere because you're afraid that it's gonna get damaged or something is gonna happen to it. They're just so beautiful. And shocking stuff. I think I'm done talking about the things that shocked me the most in India. But I, trust me, I don't think I've done half of it. This is just some of the things because I'm here scrolling on the pictures and looking at the moments that I've managed to capture. But you know, the thing, there are so many things that happened between. I wasn't taking pictures all day long and at everything that I look at and everything that I experience. You know, there are things that you experience and there are things that you take pictures of. And the smell, you know, they always tell you that India is different and it's different in every way. It's gonna your senses are gonna experience it in a different way. I can't explain it. I can't tell you how it smells like. It just smells different. It's the opposite of whatever I've known since I was born. And the things that I see have just the opposite of what I've known. They do things differently. They do different things. They do odd things. Odd in comparison with what I do and what we do. And I thought that was very beautiful. And it has to be. Because if it wasn't, then the world would be very boring. And surprising things, shocking things, you know, the food, the people, they're so nice, and they look happy, like generally, they look happy, more especially young people and the kids, you know, they're just playing around, and I think the less, I don't know the statistics, but it's not a theory, but I think I've made a conclusion that the less there is a gap in a country between the rich and the poor, or you know, I think it's always the case that there's gonna be fewer rich people, but there can be a gradient, you know, you can have very poor people, maybe they make 25% or 50% of the country, and then you've got like 10s or 5% going up, getting rich and rich and richer, and then you get the richest 5% up. So in India, I think there's like a huge percent of poor people, and maybe 10, 15, 20 average, and then you've got like 10% or 5% richest. So the general thing that you see, that it's just poor people, like people who just have enough food to eat. So the less there is that gap, or the more people are congested in one place or are around other people who are in the same income level as them, the happier they become. You get it? So in countries, I believe that countries that have more crime, they have those crimes due to their imbalance but the more different people have incomes. You know, in South Africa, we've got poor people there, we've got rich people over there, we've got white people, we've got black people, we've got, like, it's diverse, it's me, it's I don't know you, it's you earn more money, it's I earn more money than you, it's I live differently, you know, we are too diverse. It's like we've got, usually we don't have anything in common with our neighbors, do you get it? So that makes us assume things, you know. You look at a person, you assume they're happy. You look at a person driving a Mercedes Benz, you think they're happy because they married a white lady. So you do that. So you get what I'm saying. So South Africa is too diverse. Too diverse. So I'm not saying diversity is bad. I'm saying that leads to people not being happy, and not being happy for wrong reasons. You know. So it's like in India, people starve and everyone else is starving, or everyone else is hungry, or everyone else has got food. And it's like if you are around people who are in the same level as you, you don't feel pushed, or you don't have jealousy or envy. And envy is a bad thing, because I was just thinking about this today, that I think I wrote it somewhere, that when you envy people, envy them with, sorry, when you envy people, envy them together with their shortcomings and their pains and the struggles that they are going through or they've gone through. I'm not saying that people have things or are better than you because they've, no, usually maybe they've had it easy, but everyone has their own problems. I'm not saying our problems are the same or they're equal, but you have your problems, someone else has their problem. Even the happiest person has had their problems, or maybe they don't have, maybe they don't have to have their problems, but that's their life, and you live yours, they live theirs. So the problem with envy is you envy from a point of misunderstanding. Nobody envies while knowing the whole story. When you know the whole story, then you get to understand how much the price is to pay. And then you realize that you are better off being yourself with what you do, what you have and what you don't have. So I think that surprised me how nice people are in general, and how I can walk at night with my phone taking a live video. Ah, that was quite a thing. I didn't want to live in India. So there are so many things I can't talk about them. It's 23:25 right now in South Africa. South African time. Time is moving, man. I gotta sleep. We're gonna talk. Let me stop this when it says 46:46.